Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Brian brought us our expert scout previewing Jacksonville right now on the BuyerSafety.com hotline. Your final chance this morning to win $1,000 is coming up at 9:16 on Sean and RJ. Good morning, Broadus. How are you?
Doing well, boys. How about yourselves?
Doing okay.
Super.
Are you feeling increased tension at the Star this week or yesterday?
No. I mean, the you know, all games, you know me, all games are must win. So, yeah, I feel like, though, that, the pressure that the players and the coaches and everybody feels is probably stuff they put on themselves. Everybody understands the job they have to do. It's unfortunate that they've had some struggles at certain spots, with their team. There's some areas I'm sure that they didn't feel like that it was going to be some struggles at. And, you know, they probably had a few surprises that have been really good for them as well. So, no, I think it's just, you know, part of the grind of the season is you have to work through the good and the bad. You can't let the thing go up and down as far as your emotions and things like that. I know that was a lot being said or mentioned of what was said in the locker room and stuff like that yesterday. But, you know, I just think it's part of what happens during a season.
You're in there for every Jason Garrett press conference.
I am.
And more importantly, probably, you're there for the discussions afterwards.
The walk-off. We should not ask any questions during the press conference.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you think that Jason Garrett, is he capable of admitting mistakes? Or is he more stubborn based upon other guys you've been around?
He admitted that they blew the Atlanta game. Admitted that. He told us, he said, I misevaluated Chaz Green. I was going on what I believed Chaz Green could do from the previous season, where he stepped in for Tyron Smith, had a couple of starts, actually played pretty well in those games. And then, you know, the mistake that he admitted to me and to others was that they should have never moved Chaz Green into guard. Even though Chaz Green started games at guard, they should have kept him at offensive tackle. It was really more important for them to have a capable backup to Tyron Smith than it was a starting left guard. I know that sounds crazy, but they affected the way that Chaz Green played, and they hurt his development. And he admitted that to us as a group.
Do you think he regrets the 4th-and-1?
No, I don't think he regrets the 4th-and-1. I mean, you can make arguments both ways. I took the side of I would have gone for it, because I don't believe that he says that they would have punted the ball. If they get a stop and they punt the ball back, that you were going to move the ball. You know, he's assuming that you were going to be able to move the ball again.
Right.
And, you know, instead of maybe, you know, what if they flip the field on you now? You're going to have to move the ball 60 yards. You know, maybe to get in field goal range, or 50 yards to get in the field goal range, or 40 yards, whatever. You know, you're going to have to move the ball. I would have taken a shot. If you get that 4th-down play right there, if you get it, then you move the ball maybe 7 or 8 more yards. You completely kill the game. You work the game all the way down, and then you make them, you know, you say you do kick the field goal and you go ahead, then you leave them no time. But his team offensively was not moving the ball well enough in the game for me to sit there and think that they could get a drive at the end of the game. Look at that. The 2 times they had the ball on right before the end of regulation, they didn't move the ball at all there. They took a sack, you know, I mean, all kinds of things. So generally scouts are more apt to say, okay, hey, you know, I'm going to get you players, you handle the coaching decisions. But now that I'm on the media side of this, you know, I would have surely thought about going for it right there. I would have taken my chances. that I would have been able to block the Mike linebacker. I would have maybe come up with a creative play. Maybe you play action it to Zeke, and then you throw the ball to the Swaim or somebody like that. You can come up with option plays. You got a quarterback that's mobile enough to do things, the read option. You could have put some pressure on Houston that way. I would have taken the chance to move the ball there, and he didn't, and they lost the game.
What did you make of Allen Hurns' comments yesterday?
I have no problem with what Allen Hurns said, and I think that if we all sat there and listened to him talk, he pointed out a lot of different things that's going on with this team offensively. I don't think it's just solely the play calling. I think the players need to take some accountability what's going on here with some of their execution. We've talked about that. The quarterback, the receivers, the offensive line clearly is not as good as it once was. That's been a problem for this football team. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that Allen Hurns could have addressed. He focused on the play calling part of that. You know, I heard Fisher this morning talk about, if you get in a cover two look throwing into a play, this is about the development of your quarterback. And this is about the development of him, to understand and to be able to manipulate defenses. I was with a guy that had a huge problem manipulating defenses in Brett Favre early in his career, the first 4 or 5 years. And Brett will even admit it. He didn't know what dime defense was. He didn't know what cover two was. And I'm not saying this is not a dumb being dumb off the field dumb, just in everyday life. But sometimes in football, mental part of the game is important, and especially as a quarterback. The great ones, the Drew Breeses, the Tom Brady's, the Aaron Rodgers, those are all great quarterbacks. What makes them great? They got great skill, but they've got the ability to kind of think their way through a game. Tony Romo had that same kind of ability to think his way through his game. I talked to Sean Payton about this for a long time. And Sean told me, he says, I could send in plays to Drew and he could take the play and make it even better for me, or he could just totally change the play that I sent in because of what's going on with the defense. So, we talk about anticipation, a lot of people trying to analyze what Dak's doing. But again, it's game experience. It's understanding the defense. It's not the lack of trying to prepare and be ready. He just right now doesn't have the capability to say, okay, this is what I have to do to manipulate the defense. We've seen when he gets on the edge and switches the ball from his right hand to his left hand and back to his right hand to throw a 44-yard pass to, to get him down the field. Those are plays that he could always make, but it's the manipulation of the defense that he's having to have to really work hard at right now.
Brian brought us here on The Fan. You may not know this. Do you know if Romo changed a lot of plays?
He always did, yeah.
And
he
does
did.
Dak have that green light to do the same if he wants?
Yeah, I think he does have that ability. And, and that's one another thing, too, that Sean Payton and I were talking about. When Dak, early in his career, Sean was amazed that he goes, I'd love to have a quarterback where he doesn't always change the play on me. That he says, I want to run the football, and Drew says, no, I'm going to throw the football. And then they lose the game, and you wonder why we lost the game, because you didn't have the balance. But quarterbacks have that ability. They have the idea that, okay, if they see something, they can get out of it. Where we're missing the point, too, is what's going on up front with this offensive line, and where Travis Frederick can really help you in some of your decision-making. These guys, if you do get into a bad play, some of these guys are good enough to get you out of the bad play just by their ability. And I think that with Travis Frederick not being in there, the running game has suffered a little bit. Even though the runner is the leader in the league, I think that there could have been some better plays for you. Maybe on third down. Maybe they, five games they play, there's been a miss at the Mike linebacker spot. Third and one, a Mike linebacker has been able to get through. Travis Frederick was able to be able to cut you in half on defense with his ability to get to the second level, and that's been a problem for this team right now. Joe Looney's playing as well as he could play, but it's not Travis Frederick for communication. That's another thing that Jason Garrett offered to us. He said, on the road, we're having some problems with communication. It's not just crowd noise, but it's just trying to convey the calls across the line of scrimmage, and then you have those problems. So there's a lot of things going on. If you change the play, you're going to have to affect a lot of things that go on up front, not only with the receivers, the tight end, but the blocking scheme as well.
Brought us this move on to Jacksonville. I saw an article yesterday that the more wide receivers you throw out against the Jags, the worse off you are. How do the Cowboys match up if they were going to use some of their two tight end sets with the Jags?
Well, it's not how they're going to do it. It's they are going to do it. Yeah. That's just their DNA. That's how they play. Now, what you have to do is you have to figure out how to use Jacksonville's aggressiveness against them. Okay. And so that means if you run counters, if you run boots, if you run waggles, if you run things that show them one thing and then have you go the other way, that's where they're going to have the best advantages. Again, it goes back to what Travis Frederick and what I was talking about. If you could take the ball front side with Ezekiel and cut that thing back hard to the right or to the left, and you have those blocks taken care of, you got Miles Jack taken care of, or you got Telvin Smith blocked, then you can make some plays. It's going to be the way I went back and watched Jacksonville play against Tennessee, because Tennessee is a very run-heavy team. What they did was they put three they had three safeties on the field at the time. They put Ronnie Harrison, who they drafted from Alabama, they put him down like as an extra linebacker to try and combat Tennessee's ability to run the football. I have a feeling that they've got to be confident that they can choke the run and then make you pass. And if they make you pass, that plays right into their strength, because if you look at their secondary, the corners are really good football players, one of the best secondaries that they're going to play. So there's a lot of things defensively they could do, but you got to take advantage of their aggressiveness.
Do they have a truly great defense, and is Ramsey a truly great corner?
Yeah, I think you have to pick and choose how you want to attack Ramsey, because what he does, he's rare in this league nowadays, is he plays on both sides of the field. So if you try and say, okay, we're going to take our wide receiver that's not going to have any impact in our game plan and put him over there and just say, okay, keep him to that one side of the field,
they'll move.
Jacksonville doesn't let you do that. They'll move him. They'll find out who your best guy is, and they'll move him. They'll move him right. They'll move him left. They'll put him in the slot. So you got to be ready for that. Abuye is a guy that on the other side is clearly not as talented, but he's a good player. He would be very comparable to what you have with the guys like Awuzie and Brown and those types of guys. I think he's a good corner, but you got to be careful how you attack these guys. And I think the best time to throw the football against these guys, when you think you could get them in zone coverage, when you get them to back off, you better be able to throw the ball quickly. You better be decisive when you want to do it, because if you do throw the ball late, these guys do a great job of driving on that ball.
Brian brought us buyersafety.com hotline. How do you begin to predict what the heck Blake Bortles is going to do?
That's what's probably going to give you a chance to win this game.
Yeah.
And that's where I think that when you really, really break it down, you know, Kansas City really struggled defensively going into that game. And then, you know, they get the turnovers. Yeah, it was wet conditions and all that, but they did a really nice job. Don't discount the fact that these guys don't have Leonard Fournette, too. That's another one. I mean, Yeldon's a good player, but it's not the same. It's just not the same type of physicality that they usually have, and that usually helps Bortles. So, yeah, you just got to be ready for him, you know, to make a mistake or two. We saw what happened when you got some pressure, you know, in the face of Watson the other day. He threw you one. Well, this guy will just throw you one just to throw you one. So, you know, they have to be ready for that. They have to be able to find a way to get to him, to take advantage a little bit of this Jacksonville offensive line. It's a better group than what they faced last week. But, again, the quarterback is not as good as what you've played.
Does it easily feel like the most hopeless game of the season so far? Like, how are they going to score enough points?
Well, we've seen this team clearly struggle with that. I've also seen them, you know, in the past when they've had matchups against, okay, this is the best and this is that. And it's very similar to what you probably feel like when you play Philadelphia.
Yeah.
You know, and you're thinking like, okay, well, how are we gonna move the football? How are we going to manufacture offense? Yeah. And so, like I said, it's going to come down to, you know, can Dak Prescott outduel Blake Bortles? Who is going to make the most plays, and who is going to make the least amount of mistakes? And, you know, that's where I think this game very well can hinge. I think defensively the Cowboys could be just fine in this game.
Yeah.
I think where the offense is, you know, the struggles, okay, if it turns into punt, 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 you know, which defense is going to get wore down? You know, that's, I think, it very well could come down to one or two big plays in this game. And you just got to hope that, you know, that your guy is the one that makes the play at the end of the day, and you're not the guy that throws the interception that helps the other team win the game.
Man, and that, oh, it's going to be bitter watching it Miles is. Jack and hearing about
him.
Oh.
Well, I want to tell you this, though. I'm a Miles Jack fan, and you know that.
All y'all were.
Yeah, but actually Jalen Smith is playing better than Miles Jack.
Whoa!
And what I've seen on tape. He's absolutely been playing better. And, you know, it's both I think I love Miles Jack, don't get me wrong, and I'm not just saying that to – try and pump up Jalen Smith, but I you watch him play, and he is, you know, Jalen Smith is around the ball just as much as Miles Jack is. He's just as good of a finisher. You know, him and Leighton Vander Esch have really done a nice job together, you know, holding that defense together while Sean Lee's been out. We all kind of had a big question mark there, but to me, guys, that's not a question anymore.
Oh, I love hearing that. All right, ending with a great note. Thank you, Brian. Great stuff.
Take care, guys.
Brian Broad, AspireSafety.com hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.